This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Diane Broadley.
Diane McConnell.
And I'm Stuart Merks.
So in the last episode we were talking about music and your childhood and your education, and then you were at Teachers College in Wellington and there was more music there. Where did it go from there?
And then while I was in Wellington, I also sang in a nightclub.
Was it a brass band or like a big dance band?
Yes. We sang Dinah Lee's song, Millie Small, you know, all that sort of thing. But
how often?
That's with our Dinah Lee haircuts.
Looks great.
And we used to. She was my roommate in the hostel.
Oh, the photo, yeah.
She worked for Peter...
Peter Sinclair?
Yeah, Peter Sinclair, that's who I'm thinking. Oh. She worked for Peter Sinclair's mother in a hairdressing shop, so he was the one who got us this thing at the cabaret with the band, with singing.
So how often did this happen?
Every Saturday night.
Yeah. Oh, right, you were the regular in-house.
Oh, we just sang two or three songs,
yeah.
And they played, and
So how did you feel? You
were people were dancing, and
So you were used to performing in front of an audience by then.
No.
So how was it?
Oh, good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was fun because we knew the songs, but we used to have to go to the coffee bars, they were called in those days, or I think, and put the machine on that played all the records, what they call.
Oh, the jukebox.
Put the money in and choose the song. We'd be sitting there and writing the words to all these songs, you see, so that we could sing them at the cabaret.
Because now we learn our songs on the internet.
And we didn't have a record player, and we didn't have all the records.
And at that stage, you were relying on just a couple of stations,
yes,
and what they played.
That's right.
Yeah, there might have been tape recorders by then, but they were in Britain. But you might not have had them here. The reel-to-reel tape recorders.
I don't know when cassettes came.
Yeah, we didn't have any anyway.
Yeah.
In Britain, they were sort of towards the late 60s, but the reel-to-reel tape recorders, we were recording songs off the radio in the late 60s.
About
67 or so.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get a record player, like I said, till I was 21, so nobody in our hostel was rich enough to have one at the hostel.
And definitely no tape recorders around then that I remember. No. They would have been around, but
I imagine they were very expensive.
Well, I suppose like Pete Sinclair would have had one, he would have had all the recording sessions. So yeah, we actually did try to do some backing for a girl called Rochelle Brinson at the time. She made a couple of recordings and on the radio, but the band couldn't play, they could only play in B flat or something, and it wasn't right for her voice. It was a bit high for us, so we didn't get to do that, but so he was the one who had those TV shows, Come On. Was another one
Happening
too. Yes, Happening, I think. Okay. Yeah, I think that was
And you'd all follow those week by week to see what the new songs were.
Yeah, and they'd have dances with their white leather boots.
Oh, heck yes.
And they would play records disco rather than dance. Live.
Singing, no,
you'd have
live,
the singers there
live
as well.
Singing.
Yes.
By the actual, not the people who did the record, unless it was New Zealand record.
If it was a New Zealand one, Ray Columbus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Columbus, yeah, he would have been the main.
Peter Poser, was he about them with the guitar?
Yeah, I think so. Those ones, they... they were all the rage then, and that's how they became known.
I mean, for many of us, these were unknown people.
Yeah.
And then they'd come into one of these TV shows, and suddenly it was big. You knew them.
Mm.
Mm. Well, he had a lot of people, launched a lot of people.
Mm.
Yeah. How were those two sisters that were...
The Chicks.
The Chicks, I remember them being on there.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Anyway, that was just another sideline. And then there was the Mon Marie, and basically that was Teachers College in Wellington. And then I went back to Marsden to teach and gave up. And then I came back to Wellington to work, worked there for a wee while, ended up down in Christchurch. And met up with all the folkies down there, and that's where my flatmate taught me the auto harp, which I still have and play.
Auto harp. And what's an auto harp?
The auto harp is just a little harp about this big, and it has all the strings down here, and across here is a whole lot of bars, and you press one, it's got G on it, and
it automatically plays the
G chord or the C chord.
That's why it's an auto harp, you just press the...
Yeah, it's automatic, automatically.
Okay.
It plays the chord, the right chord.
And small enough to carry around easily.
Yeah.
And solid backing, so they were quite tough. Mm. A lot of schools had them.
Oh, did they?
And the musical instruments.
Oh, yeah.
You could pick up the auto harp.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I got mine from a friend's grandmother. But it's the Carter family in America who Maybelle Carter, she used to play the guitar and the auto harp. And that's how that became famous. Mm.
Oh, okay. Mm. So you were working. Music wouldn't have been part of your work then, but it was your... main leisure activity?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did try to bring in singing in my classroom, but I wasn't really enjoying that early teaching, so then I was supposed to be paying back a bond of £200.
Oh, so you were working in Wellington doing something other than teaching?
Yes, I was in the Hannah's shoe shop, actually, upstairs in the office, and in Christchurch I was the same thing.
Yeah.
So not a lot of singing in the workplace.
No singing in the workplace. But it was all at night at Folk Club in Christchurch and that sort of thing.
But there's still a lively scene with that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Young people, old people across the world?
Oh, youngish.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Okay.
18, 19,
so what's it? So, and was that, there were older folk singers but not there, or...?
No, not really.
It was really a young group.
Young people.
And that group have just carried it through and have younger people come into the scene as well.
And we were also playing in pubs and things too here.
Yeah.
In Christchurch.
Okay.
And
this was traditional folk or the more modern sort of protest folk sort of thing?
Yeah, well, all that's...
A bit, the
yeah,
whole lot,
no,
the whole.
That the modern. I mean, the Peter
Paul Joan
and
Byers
Mary and the Joan Byers and the...
Okay.
Rod Stewart, pop, I suppose, pop folk, but
which would have quite a large following.
Some people did, I suppose, play the old tunes and things.
So
hard to remember.
Yeah. So have you seen it gone there? If it was mainly young people then. And you go now, and where we tend to go to be largely old people. Mm. Is it the same cohort just moved through with that, and there weren't the younger ones coming in, they were doing something else?
Yeah, no, it seems like it's all the old people coming back, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, still there.
A lot of grey hair.
And the audience as well. But then you see that's the, is it just, you know, the old ones are playing to their audience and the younger ones are doing, but maybe they're just not doing folk type music.
No. Well, at folk clubs, see, when I went to Pia Tour when I came back into teaching. Got a good school there because my parents were there then. They'd moved to Pia Tour, and so I came back to Pia Tour, and I had a lot of music in my classroom and stuff there. It was a really good school.
Yeah.
Really helpful. So I had my guitar, and I taught the kids songs. So, there was Puff the Magic Dragon and the one about the train at night. What was train whistle blowing.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two that stood out. But
yes.
Yeah, I had a little group, and I actually got a tea chest bass made. And one of the kids used to play it.
Okay.
Boom, 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 yeah.
And that's your tea chest with a power and one string that resonates. Yeah.
Yeah. Keeps the bass, keeps a good rhythm going. And
good.
But many years later, when I was in Palmerston North in a fish and chip shop getting dinner, this woman came up to me and said, "Oh, I remember you." She said, "You used to be a teacher at Pia Tour," and she was a little girl in my classroom with a fabulous voice. Mary, her name was, and she's still singing in Savage Club in Fielding, Club over here. Yeah.
Mm. Nice.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, it travels.
So you got back into teaching,
and
you carried on
at Pia Tour.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of music there with the kids, and then I got married and moved to Palmerston North in 1970. And we had a pianola at home in our house and a piano. And
the pianola is the one where it's got the music on a sheet sort of thing, on a roll,
and it just plays itself. Helpful. So my kids have grown up with that, and I also bought a keyboard thing, that actually had some things that you could press a button and it would play
different
little tunes, and they were all actually classical pieces played at about 10 times the speed.
Yeah.
And my oldest son learned them at that speed, and he could play them all on that keyboard. And then he used to go into my mother's place and play it on her piano at that speed, and she just used, because she recognised all the songs. Yeah. He didn't know they were classical pieces, though. And she'd like, "Help!"
He's in a hurry to get through it.
And he ended up, he wanted to play the drums, so we got him a drum set, and the other son is in Wellington. He picked up the guitar. And he still plays the guitar.
Yeah,
he's got about 10 guitars.
So you would have been very musical at home.
As they grew up too, they just formed a band, and they actually competed in that thing, the high school
Battle of the Bands.
The youngest one, that Glenn, the older one, he trained them up, and my younger son played. So they didn't win, but they got in there. Yeah. That's the main thing. So they're all very musical. They just love their music. And
so while the children were growing up, and you've got music in the house, were you also doing your own music stuff outside, or was the house and family taking it all up?
Mostly. Because I was teaching. Once they grew up a bit, I was teaching as well. So, kindergarten. They went to kindergarten, and so I suppose they were getting that sort of music there too, being played, all those kiddies songs and things. But
Was that different? It had changed a lot, had it? Or it was still the same as...
Pretty much the same, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. They just went on and on and on, all those little children's songs that they sing in kindergarten, still do today, probably, they all know. Mm. Yeah, so... I suppose it was at that stage that I joined Folk Club here, because I found out that two ladies from Wellington were coming up to sing, and they were going to be doing harmony, so I thought, that's right. So I went to Folk Club, and that's when I joined, because I just loved them so much, and so I used to keep going, and with my guitar. And then they had this arts display things in the square in George Street, out on the street or something. Somebody started it up in Palmerston North.
Yeah.
And so we used to go and play at that, a group of us from the Folk Club, and that's where For Folk's Sake started. Mm. And we just carried on playing.
When might this have been? And is it 10 years ago or 30 years ago?
Oh, probably 20 years ago, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Been going for a while.
So what was happening at the Folk Club? How did it work?
Oh, everybody sits around and they take turns at playing their songs, playing their instruments, and everybody has all sorts of instruments. And every so often we have a whiteboard concert where people put their names up and they play on the stage and have a concert, and but I don't particularly. I like performing with my group as part of a group. I don't like singing on my own, so I don't really do that. But if our group's there, well, we sing some of our songs. Mm.
And the group is For Folk's Sake.
Mm.
So tell us about the group. It's obviously got a sense of humour.
Yeah, well, apparently, I didn't realise, I didn't know who chose our name, but we did have a young chap join us early on, and it was him who came up with that name, but he since moved on and left us with the name. But everybody laughs when we go and tell them who we are. They think it's hilarious, so we've kept it.
Yeah. And how big is the group?
Oh, well, we started out, we had about 10, and now we're down to 7. Mm. And one of our people is over in America. She goes over with her husband, and they go for 6 months. They're American, but they go for 6 months and come back here for 6 months.
Oh.
Their family's long over there, and he's got a job of some sort that he goes to.
Oh.
Hmm. So, but the others are Palmerston North, settled, and
so one group, sort of a group of people started it, and they've just stayed together for 20 years.
Mm. Mm. We've performed at World on Stage here in Palmerston North, and a couple, two or three times.
Mm.
And then basically we just go around all the retirement villages, and we get, because people hear us and they recommend us, and
the places for
growing and growing. There, and
so are young people interested in what you're doing with that?
No, well, there's some young people do come to Folk Club. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a variety, but mostly they're older.
So at the moment you've got once a week Folk Club, and there's For Folk's Sake, do they have weekly practices
practice once, one day a week, and then sometimes we have two performances, and other times we've got 2 weeks off now, so we just have our practice.
School holidays, take a break.
But
it's high demand.
Yeah, that doesn't really affect us, school holidays. It's because they're retirement villages, so they don't really have school holidays.
Ah, yeah.
But we go as far as Martin, Bulls, Levin. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's quite a big circuit that we do.
So you put on quite a large number of concerts as well. You got weekly rehearsals and then concerts as well.
And we go and perform and retirement homes and things, different places like that. But I think the World on Stage is, I'm not sure if it's every year or every, I think it might be every second year. They do, I think every second year they do it in the Regent.
And that's all the different cultural groups in Palmerston.
Fabulous music night. Irish dancers and, you know, all sorts of Scottish dancers and all sorts of different music.
You were saying you go into rest homes. What's the reaction you get there?
Oh, they're wonderful audiences.
Really?
Yeah. We go to, even with people with dementia, you know, that some retirement villages have those, and we go and play for them and they just love it. I think because, you know, with dementia people, they remember the old stuff.
Yeah, some have the old memory,
And I think, they just love it. No, they're a great audience. Mm. They just love it.
How do you think the live music affects them as opposed to a recording or on TV?
Oh, I think it's quite, they enjoy being, being close to us and laughing and
cheering. What they used to as well,
cheering,
I suppose,
and clapping and...
Grew up with it,
so. And they always talk to us afterwards, you know, they come up and ask us about our instruments or tell us that they played this or that or.
Now there's an interesting aspect to that though, and I'd heard even New Zealand musicians talking about New Zealand audiences tend to be very sort of passive, not so expressive compared to say the States and so on. Do you find your audiences join in a lot and they move a lot when there's music playing and so on?
There's one woman who works at one of the retirement villages. She's the one who organises us and gets us to come and perform for them. And apparently she was at the last World on Stage with her friend, and she was telling us this, and she said, "Oh, I know those people. Whoa, they come and play for me." She's jumping up and cheering. And she knew us because we said we were a famous band or something. For her, it was just as good as if it was Elvis Presley performing up there. Funny.
But there is something about live performers, though, that we seem to be losing a bit, I think, because you've got all the top quality singers, you've got all the electronic music and the TV and film. So I think I've heard that, and that makes people very wary of performing themselves because they can't be that standard. That, but there's a different feel when you've got live music.
A lot of people have it on, you know, they put it online and on Google and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
you can. That's right. Which even means in say a folk tradition or a minority interest stuff, you can actually get world class material through the internet. Does that tend to put people off singing in the folk club, do you think? Puts me off. I don't know.
I think half the time it depends how many people turn up. Sometimes we get a really good, you know, like we get 20 people, which is a good night in that hall. And other times we hardly get any, 10, something like that. But we also have overseas performers who are touring through New Zealand,
that's
and they,
right.
they
yeah,
come
you get
and
some very
perform.
Cool.
They're like at the Hokafiti village,
the Hokafiti one, that's the Bent Horseshoe Cafe, their concerts, they now hold them in the bowling club.
Yes.
Which are very popular
aren't
they? And very good musicians.
They're good performers, good musicians. A lot of those have been at the Wellington Festival, but they also...
They do the circuit. If they come from over... We've actually got some recordings, the story, the history of the Bent Horseshoe concerts.
Oh, great.
And how they started off.
That's good
to know.
Because they come down... There's quite a few festivals too, quite a few folk festivals throughout New Zealand.
That's right. So if they come, they're just looking, where can we perform on the way through and fill up the whole thing. So Steve from Bent Horseshoe was saying, they just phoned him up and said, "We're coming through, can we perform?"
I think we're very fortunate here in Palmerston with the music, the live music that comes through.
We seem to be. Well, it's the globe as well. There's a lot of live music coming through. But, you know, we have to, people have to organise it. And You have to have those people who organise it all. Yeah.
And that is something going. As well. I've heard with sort of clubs and so on, the older generation are used to joining things, and like you say, you've got weekly practices and the folk club meets. Right? Yeah. So, but younger people tend not to join in the same way. Maybe they have networks through the internet and so on. So whether we'll still get the organisers and the structures and things carrying on is something we've there's issues trying to find people to chair the groups and the treasurer and secretary
As when we get older, we just want to go and
You want other people to have taken over and carry it. Yeah,
yeah, we do. Yeah.
Else have you got music?
The other place I do is I was going to say, when you're talking about young people, I belong to a singing group called 6 to 60.
Oh yeah.
And they meet on a Monday night, and they're up to about 100 people now.
Wow.
But Jennifer Moss started it as the Manawatu Community Choir.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gave that up, and so Amy Hunt had been starting a little choir, little group. She only had about 10 to start with, I think. Mm. But she called it 6 to 60 because she has children. People can bring their children, but there is quite a little group of children, and they started out, you know, like about 10 years old. Now they're all teenagers, and they still and come still and they're
that's
and
good.
They're performing in all these musicals. They've got a high school musical at the moment in Palmerston North, and they're all in high schools. Oh. They're all in secondary schools.
That's really interesting, because for a long time in New Zealand, I think it was the churches, more the alternative type churches with the guitar music and so on.
Yes,
it was the youngsters going there had a regular audience and an incentive to learn and play together.
Yes,
so there was a lot from there. So if there's another channel into that sort of thing,
it's really powerful, and they're the group that you know. Diane belongs to as
you
well.
You're both involved.
Another one's going to Spain. And,
And are those good singers in there?
Heck yes.
There's some that performing.
Because I'd heard it was something like you don't have to be a good singer.
No,
you don't. But you become a good singer, or they just move your lips and don't actually make a sound. Is
nobody
that
can hear you if you can't sing properly because there's 100 other
so
people
many
singing.
You're not putting everyone else off.
No, that's
and
right.
Also, Amy is all about enjoyment, enthusiasm. She doesn't audition. Not
so
either.
How old is she?
I don't know.
Is she? I mean, 50? Is she retired or is she sort of middle-aged?
40?
Not quite yet.
40?
Okay. She's got
probably.
Three children.
Oh, okay.
One is first one has just left high school.
Okay.
But she's a stunning singer. But more than that, she holds that positive, enthusiastic attitude no matter what's happening.
Oh, she's just amazing. Oh. And she puts on, we put on concerts, and we sing at Christmas in the Square and New Year's Eve, and, you know, she's
very good.
She's
and you got
amazing.
Over 100 in there.
Yeah, that's very good.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.